Are you saying
you faked with me?
Yeah.
Wrong. Now you're single.
What do you know about sexual relations?
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I'm a little worried about being a slut.
You're listening to the Come With Us podcast, talking the good, the kinky, and the ugly. Here are your hosts, Beth, Aaron, and Tina.
Hello, 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 all you sexy holes and poles. Welcome to Come With Us podcast, where you're part of all the naughty, sexy, fun conversations that everyone wants to listen in on. I'm Beth Darling, your sexy genius, here from sexyedschool.com. Today, we're talking about sexy sensory stimulation and deprivation. Oh my goodness, all the fun you can have by giving and receiving sensory excitement. I don't know, so many things. So we'll dive right into it. I'm here with Aaron and Tina. And I love that, Tina, you didn't even recognize the term sensory deprivation, did you?
No, I'm literally no idea what this is.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's so, but when we say, oh, have you ever used a blindfold?
Yeah.
Of course. So I don't know how, but maybe the term sensory deprivation isn't popular today, but it certainly is in, it's practiced all over the place. It's definitely a thing within kinky world, swinging world, mainstream sexy fun world, whether you call it those fancy words or not.
It is like anybody who hears now sensory deprivation, it's become really popular with those big floating tanks of water that you can get in, and like you're supposed to get in there and you're completely
float tanks.
Yeah. You're completely in the dark. You have no seat, like they're soundproof, like all that kind of stuff. And it's supposedly, some people say it makes you hallucinate. Some people say, you know, it just puts you completely at ease and you kind of get your zen or you get back to center. But from a sexual thing, I mean, we're talking about like, I mean, your five senses, your, you know, sound, sight, touch, smell, and taste. And to use any or all of them or a combination of the five during sexy fun is what, I mean, it started in the kinky world, but thanks to plenty of erotic books and stuff like that, people are getting into now.
Yeah.
People might not realize it, but like tying your partner's hands, like strapping that, or like tying them to the bed or tying them to the headboard or something like that, that's a form of sensory deprivation because they can't use their hands to touch you. Like they cannot, you're taking away their feeling of touch and their feeling of, you know, blindfolding.
Control.
Same way. Yeah.
It's really, it's all about power.
Yeah.
That's at the base, and that scares people, and yet it's so true. And we do it all the time. Just think about surprises. We tell people, close your eyes, or we put our hands over their eyes so they can't see. That is sensory deprivation.
Yep.
And it's a form of power, and it adds to some excitement. It builds anticipation, makes people really much more attuned to the other senses, right? When you can't see, you suddenly have to really start, you listen for everything, et cetera. So it brings you into the present much more.
It does. And kind of what, I mean, you guys know how cheap I am. I'm, you know,
frugal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever. Uh-huh. Money conscious.
Yes.
Like another part that I guess maybe this is probably where it started, but like the best part of it is you can do these kind of sensory deprivation things while you're having sexy play with your partner and you're not spending a lot of money. Like you don't need to go out and spend a buttload of money.
Absolutely.
Literally, you can use, if you're a guy, you can use a necktie and tie up their hands. If you can go and get a decent blindfold and put it over, you can, if you have a pair of headphones, a pair of noise canceling headphones, which who doesn't nowadays because of AirPods or flying, or, you know, plenty of companies now make them where you can buy them for like $30 and they have noise canceling. You can put those over your partner's,
right,
you know, ears, and then that's complete auditory sensory deprivation.
Right.
So
you don't have to have a big budget. And that's why I say sexy fun is not dependent on a big budget. Sexy fun is dependent upon creativity and a willingness to explore, to have some adventures, to, again, communicate well with your partner about what's okay, what you're willing to do. But take some chances and actually have some fun for good or bad.
Yeah.
I think, and the sad part is that for great sexy, you pretty much should be addressing the five senses no matter what. If you are not dealing with the five senses, you are missing something in your sexy fun. It's just we have five senses for a reason. It's kind of like these are free. These are included with the price of admission. Now, granted, some people are differently able, and so perhaps they are limited in terms of their hearing or their sight. So I'm not trying to knock that. But whatever abilities, whatever those you have, to not make use of all of them during sexy, again, you're wasting the price of admission.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So, okay, we want to help you, give you some ideas for how to use them in a way that works for everybody, because you can be significantly kinky and, or you can be very, very mainstream, very vanilla and very tender and gentle in your sexy. And yet, again, five senses.
Should we go through all five and just kind of do each one at a time?
Yeah, okay. That's exactly it. And so, and with all of them, I just encourage you to think anticipation, whether you're talking about sensory stimulation or deprivation, because those two sound like polar opposites, but the fact is when you deprive one, you are enhancing another. And that's just like I said, when somebody puts their hands over your eyes and you can't see, you're suddenly listening much more carefully than you ever did before.
So. Yeah. I mean, a little bit nerdy on there, like the superhero, whatever you want to call him, Daredevil. He's a guy who goes blind, and then all of a sudden his other senses pick up, specifically his hearing, and he can see through sound waves. That is a superhuman type of ability, but the premise of it is actually actually real. Like you have your friend put on a blindfold and try to lead them around the house, your hearing becomes more adept. Your touch becomes more adept. Your smell becomes more adept. When you shut off one, your other ones kind of heighten, because that's just natural survival.
Yeah.
That's what your body is keen to do, because it's keen to, okay, I can't, I mean, honestly, it's caveman going, okay, I can't see the saber-toothed tiger. I got to listen and I got to smell for it right now, because if not, I will die kind of thing.
Yeah. So, so use those and build anticipation.
Yeah. Let's start with sight.
With sight. Okay, so the easiest one, the easiest way to limit or inhibit sight is blindfold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, turning the lights off.
Oh, there you
That's
go.
The one that everyone,
there you go.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you get it really completely dark. I mean,
well, but some people don't. So it depends. But if you just think of it, and again, when we think of stimulation and or deprivation, then turning lights off and putting candles, that is stimulating visually, because candlelight, it moves, it's exciting, it's romantic, it's you have to focus really hard to see things because it's flickering, it's not quite as clear as a bright shiny light and things. So all of that is the ways that you can play with that. So you can turn the lights off, you can do candle lights, you can have a little bit of light. Oh, what about a spotlight? You know, we have these ring lights and stuff, and we use them for photos and stuff. But
I don't know about that. People, I don't think look at that good under those in person. Like, they come out well in camera, but like.
But sometimes if you want to play, like, think of a role play interrogation. Somebody sitting there and whatever, and the bright lights. Well, no, I'm just saying, right, there are all sorts of different. We're only limited by creativity, and there's not just one way to do things. So think about it. But when people are looking for easy fantasies that they can do, there is something very powerful, and police fantasies and stuff are very common and stuff. So interrogation, using ring lights, being focused, all sorts of, putting lamps, just a tiny little lamp or a different colored bulb in a lamp, the bedside night table and stuff can create things all differently. Putting a red light, because we don't necessarily have so many red light districts, but that used to be where the sexual area of town was. So putting a red light in your overhead or nightlight will definitely sort of change the normal into something different. And blindfold. So let's think about, what happens when we restrict the visual input? Then it is some taking away some power, because then we're not sure what's coming next. So for example, if you can't see, you don't know if I'm going to use this little, feather teaser thing, or whether I'm going to use this little silicone spanker thing, or I'm going to use a vibrator on you next. And you're at somebody else's control in terms of what it is that they're doing or coming or something. And so that can be very arousing, if you will. I think that having people do lay down, even if you don't, you do restraints, but you just tell them to stay still and put a blindfold on, whether they're sitting, standing, laying down in bed or whatever. I think then there's all sorts of fun that can happen because it can be even a 360. You can be going around. You can be kissing the back of their neck if they're sitting in a chair. You can be kneeling in front of them. You can touch their feet, their legs all the way up. You can unbutton their shirt. All of these things, and they don't quite know. But it's, I think, lots and lots and lots of fun. So, and then you can do... you can buy really nice blindfolds. You can use a tie or a sash or a fabric, a scarf. I will tell you that if you find that you really enjoy the blindfold stuff, I suggest there are some really great blindfolds. And I had one particularly that had two leather circles and they would move on a leather strap so that they didn't. What I hate is to be blindfolded when I'm actually trying not to see, where the blindfold isn't good. And I could see, but then I'm trying not to. That doesn't feel the same as when I can't. So pay attention to the blindfolds. If you're into it, again, I suggest you find a really good one. And I can post a picture of ones that I really liked and recommended for anybody. And you could use them for, you know, switching on and off because it didn't have a nose thing. It just patched over the eyes.
And okay, sound.
Sound. Okay, so what do you think people do for sound?
I mean, the headphones thing obviously is probably the number one, I would
say. Headphones, earplugs.
Or just play music. Right.
So headphone like might be for deprivation, but also might be for music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
because if people don't have, I think everyone should have sort of a fucking list, and people maybe have a making love music list, and you might have a kinky BDSM music list. And because the music really does, the sound stimulates us one way or the other. The absence of it makes us crave it and wonder what's going on. But some music, some things are uplifting, some are down, some are more intimidating, some are more lighthearted. But I don't think people pay enough attention to music. They just flip stuff on.
So in college and even like before, there was like everyone had sex playlists. I still have mine on my phone.
Really?
Like a bunch of them in my Spotify thing. But then when I got out, like specifically like now, I like talk to other people, like older guys who I hook up with, and they like think it's really weird to play music like during sex. And I'm like, it's not weird at all. Like I feel like everyone in college, everyone played music during sex. Or like it was a
And I would say, thing. I don't know, but maybe it's good for some people. Maybe it's some people don't like it. Again, it's just that there's all different tastes and you just do you.
Maybe the guys you're hooking up with don't like the fact that a song beats them.
They don't like my music.
Or maybe the fact that, you know, you put on a 3-minute, 3.5-minute song and they're done before it's over.
Ha ha ha. Aaron.
Yeah. No, I can see both of them. I mean,
yeah,
I've used music before. It's not a requirement every single time. I mean, you want to date yourself. You're talking about having Spotify playlists. Like, my generation was, and there's other people who are going to listen to this and go, you're fucking young. Like, I still have my actual original iPod. It was like second or third generation that still has a Baby Making playlist on there. It's got like I think maybe there's a Rough Sex one. There's a Love Making one, like, that I've had on there that I've just, Carried even forward. When I was a virgin, that it was just like, ooh, that's a good thing to like, and I had it like, the Baby Making one was literally to put on for like when you wanted to make out with a chick, like
right.
In high school. Like that's what we would do.
Yeah.
You
could call that more, if you don't want Baby Making, it could be the more romantic or the more seductive.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, right? I mean, I have a Love Making one and I have a Baby Making one. The Baby Making one is a lot more of like, generally explicit rap lyrics or you know, R&B lyrics and stuff like that. And then Love Making one has actual, like, also it's got your like, good R&B and soulful smooth songs, but it also has like love songs too, so it's like actual love making kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wait, I have different ones too. I have like slower, sexier ones, and then I have like harder bangers.
Yeah,
you have like heavy metal, just like
no
but then
pounding it
do
out.
You ever actually find it distracting if you
if you've got a beat and it's a different fucking, I could actually see
that. Or they just don't
that.
Like your music. Like this guy I used to date, we hooked up and he like did not like the Black Keys, which I guess I put on. And he was like not into it. And I was like, get the fuck out. And then I started dating him for But like, I mean, maybe they just don't like your taste in music.
Yeah. So you just have to talk about it. And that's, again, this is okay. People have different tastes, different things.
Okay.
So, but definitely pay attention to it. And think about also background noise, because they have these sleep boxes or whatever.
Yeah, white noise. Yeah.
Because sometimes if you've got neighbors arguing in the background or somebody's TV is playing off in the distance or there's construction outside, all of those things can actually be distracting. And you really, again, this is the better you know your partner, the more you can anticipate and deal with it. Sometimes it's this air of, ooh, life is going on and we're busy fucking and getting busy. And that's kind of cool. And sometimes it's like, I can't do this because I'm really annoyed by whatever else. So having a sound machine and being able to control that so that, again, especially if you can't agree on different music, but maybe you both like waves. Maybe you both like the sound of the forest or fire or something like that. Figure these out, but play with that auditory because it does make a difference. Some people I know like to have porn in the background just because the noises, that those sexual noises can turn them on. That's totally okay too. And again, when we talked about eyes, porn in the background, that's another way of controlling what people are seeing and forcing it so that somebody is definitely looking or somebody can't look, but perhaps wants to or something. All of those things are ways that you can play with it.
Yeah.
So okay. Be aware.
Right. Speech.
Well, how about mouth? So part of it is speech
and taste.
But it's mouth, right? Speech and taste. Yeah.
Speech and taste. Yeah.
Speech and taste and sucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So speech, dirty talk. Absolutely. One of the things that I think more people desire dirty talk, but don't know how to engage in it. And then find it awkward because if somebody's not really comfortable with it, it can just feel like bad porn. So I think you got to figure out what your version of dirty talk is, what your partner's preferred version of that is, and then use words carefully and think about what words are turn-ons and what words are not. So for some of us, like I love being called a cum slut. To me, that totally turns me on. Some women might find that patently offensive.
I mean, we did this a couple weeks ago, daddy. Like, if you were to break that out in the middle of sex, like, that can automatically just slam on the brakes for some people. Like, everybody has certain words that you say it, and they're like, nope, sorry. Like, we need to, like, reset for a sec kind of thing.
Yeah. So you, again, the more that you figure these things out and go slow and just notice them and don't feel bad if you do something that just doesn't quite work. Just adjust. There's flexibility.
There's got to be like a, there should be an erotic Mad Libs out there where like you and your partner can go through and fill in different things. And so that way, you know, what kind of words that come to mind when they're like going through, like, cause that would be smart because you just take, you know, you have a sexy story where you have to fill in different nouns or descriptive words and stuff like that. So you can tell when it comes to sexy, hey, this is a word that stands out to them. Maybe I should throw it into my vocabulary.
And that would be a good idea, except that there is a difference sometimes in what people are willing to talk about when they're not in the middle of sex and what people are willing or want to hear in the midst of sex. And so that can be a difference. I love the idea of sexy Mad Libs. I used to do stuff like that at Sexy Trivia all the time. But I think that when it comes to your sexy fun stuff, really with a partner sort of going through and having a list of words that are a turn on, that are verboten, that are just, no, you're going to take, it's going to be like calling a code red. You're going to stop all the fun. And as you say, bring it to a screeching halt. And having those kind of beforehand and even if it's mental, but if you're with a partner long-term, a spouse, putting those in writing is a good idea because then you can add to them.
I thought sensory deprivation is taking away something. So why are we talking about dirty talk?
We're also talking about the stimulation.
So sexy, it's sensory stimulation and deprivation because they go hand in hand because you either, if you're giving something or you're taking it, et cetera, the fact is it's about control.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just thought we were talking about the deprivation part. Mm-hmm. I forgot about
The
other one.
Well, so the flip side of that would be then, well, and that's funny. So there's the with dirty talk, by the way, it is the mouth being able to talk or something, but it's also then the auditory, what they're hearing. And so sometimes maybe you could play, if somebody's really uptight and nervous and you're playing really going to that edge of power, it could be like, tell me how much you like me licking your pussy. And for them to have to verbalize that is a big part of this sensory play and stuff. But okay, so when it comes to the deprivation of talking, a gag, and you can just put, heck, some people stick your underwear or something in there. Some people stick a tie or a scarf or something. You can do a ball gag, which frankly I hate because it kills my mouth, so I will never do. But then there are also ones that are like bits that are the silicone. A bit is what you put in a horse's mouth that just stops the teeth. So you can put a bit in, which basically prevents from making you from making words, but doesn't cause me the same pain and discomfort that a ball gag does. Yeah. There are ring gags that you can put in, that like a big metal or silicone ring that's going to, a person puts in their mouth and their mouth is open in the shape of an O for, fingers or cocks or anything that can be penetrated and they can't close their mouth. Again, these are extreme, more extreme power plays. But also you can, play with just verbal commands. You can say, don't say a word. Okay, right. The same way we can use these and without any extra things and just say, this is the punishment. If you do, then blah, 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 and see if they can. For me, that's really next to impossible to not say a word if I can use my mouth. But then also think about the taste factors, which is that using things that you can lick, different flavored lubes, using jams or jellies or syrups or anything that you can use on your body and people get to lick off and stuff like that can be tons of fun and a great way to incorporate the taste part in. Again, to neglect that is, I think, kind of silly. Or letting them just melting a chocolate in their mouth. Melting chocolate is hugely sensual, I think. So,
okay. How about, what's the next? What are the two I'm missing? Touch, right? Touch.
So,
well, how about before? Because that's the one where we go on a lot. There's a lot. So, how about if we didn't do smell?
Oh, yes. Smell.
Let's do smell first, if that's okay. And then, because touch, we can go on and on for so many things. But smell is one, our sense of smell is actually one of the strongest and most potent sense and stimulations that we have. So for example, if you break up with someone and it's a really painful breakup, you may want to change, literally throw away your sheets and your bedding because that a person's smell lingers even after being laundered and stuff. And a sense of smell will take us back to 30 years ago, like in a blink of an eye. People will be like, oh my God, I just smelled this certain thing. It was like my grandmother's house, blah, 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 and stuff. So our sense of smell is incredibly powerful and it hits us and it triggers things that we don't even realize. And so again, we don't pay enough attention to them. We've been doing some talks, right? Manscaped just sponsoring our podcast. And we laugh about the fact that they have these ball deodorants and these ball toners. But it's absolutely true that the way we smell is hugely important in terms of whether people are attracted to us and want to, as Aaron says, stay down there.
Yeah.
So, so recognize that the smell, if you're not paying attention to it, you're really wasting an opportunity. So anyway, you want to tell them about Manscaped for a second real fast?
Yeah, I'll let you go off in your brain on your little whatever fantasies you're thinking about while smelling things.
I go there so quickly.
Let's talk about our friends at manscaped.com. They have been awesome enough to continue signing on with us because of you guys. Enough of y'all listen, enough of y'all decided, hey, it's time to get, you know, my downstairs area cleaned up. And they have the best products on the market. They have the Lawnmower 4.0, which has really sharp blades. They've still got the guard on there that protects you, so you're not, you know, nicking your guys, nicking your pussy, as Beth and Tina have used.
Yes. Lots.
So, I mean, but it also has the light on the Lawnmower 4.0. So when you're down there and you're in an area that light doesn't shine that well, unless you are using a spotlight, it's got an actual spotlight on there so you can see what you're doing. So you can make sure things are even. So you can make sure you're not getting too close to a certain spot you don't want trimmed or stuff like that, because some people will trim in shapes and all that fun stuff. They've got the weed whacker that's great for your nose. It's great for your ears, men and women. They've got the ball toner, the ball deodorant. All of it is great. Make sure you go to manscaped.com. Use promo code COMEWITHUS for 20% off, and you get free shipping with that order. That's COMEWITHUS at manscaped.com. There are so many different things. My wife and I were just looking through the website the other day, and she was like, ooh, so we can add that to cart, and we can add that to cart. And she was like, they make a lot more than I just thought they did. I was like, I told you. And so anytime you go to manscaped.com, make sure you tell them we sent you. Come with us is your promo code. You get 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah. Tons of fun. And again, we're talking about sensory stimulation and deprivation. And if you haven't tried shaving each other, trimming each other, whatever it is, it can be a lot of fun. So yeah, just another way to do that. So, all right. So in terms of the smell though, things we can think about: candles that are scented or unscented, because some people actually don't want the scent, and that having something is a negative. The different perfumes that we wear can have a big difference on whether people are turned on or not. Okay. Do you know what the most popular scent or popular scent or men's favorite scent?
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I think that's so strange. Doesn't turn me on, but it does men. Yeah. So
that's why strippers use it.
I hate there you vanilla.
Go. Making cookies can
I like help actual vanilla, yes. I hate the fake vanilla.
No,
spray.
I agree. I hate vanilla. I don't mind vanilla, but like I hate that.
I just want to eat. When I smell vanilla, I want to eat cookies. It doesn't turn me on, but say, hey, we all have different things. A fireplace, leather. Those are very, very strong smells. Grass, flowers, okay.
I was in this guy's bed this weekend, and he had, long story, and I wasn't hooking up with him, but whatever. And he had a crocodile headboard that was black, like a black crocodile. Wow. And then he was from Louisiana, so he was like telling me this crazy story about like how he that these crocodiles were like once alive and this is like a tradition. And then he made it into this like crazy headboard, and he had red sheets and black like covers. It was very porn looking.
Wow.
It was quite crazy. And the bed vibrated.
Oh, wow.
So
dude's going all
actually,
out.
I have a book bed that'll vibrate too.
No, it was one of those beds that like folded you into a taco. Like it could, and then like it vibrates the whole and I was like, what is going on here? There was like a bunch of people in the bed, and we were all cracking up. It was very funny.
Mine's on a third floor, so the whole house will shake. Like there is no way that anybody else can be in that house and not notice when my bed is on vibrate. So,
but seriously, very sensory-esque. Right. Everything about his bedroom was just like, I feel like targeted towards like the sexual experience and stuff.
Yeah. And it makes a difference. You can either like it or not like it, but it does have an effect. And that we just, again, trying to ignore these things is silly. We just need to incorporate them and make use of them.
Yeah.
Plus with scent. So for example, if you have a certain room spray or certain candle or even a certain perfume or cologne that you use during sexy time, then because humans are programmed to associate things and patterns, if you then smell that scent someplace, not in the midst of sexy, immediately your brain is going to go to sexy and remember and stuff. That's just the way it works. So setting these things up can actually really help, especially if you're in a relationship where perhaps one of you has more spontaneous libido, and we'll talk about this sometime too, and the other person doesn't just get as turned on all the time. We can program ourselves to associate certain things that will just start those body responses, and scent is the perfect one to do because it is so just instinctual.
Yeah. I mean, this is another weird tangent story in high school, but there was I'm not going to use her name because I don't have permission to use her name. Plus I don't think she even knows. There was a girl who sat next to me in senior English who had this lotion that smelled amazing, and it smelled like fruit roll-ups.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the way it mixed with, I guess, her natural like body scent, she would put it on after lunch, and I had a girlfriend, she had a boyfriend. I didn't find her, like, she was a pretty girl, but I was never like physically sexually attracted to her. But then she started putting it on about like a third into the year. after lunch every day, and all of a sudden it was like driving me up a wall, and I was like, oh my god, like. And then I started seeing her a whole new light and everything like that, so much that like every girlfriend I've had since then, I bought them this lotion until Victoria's Secret just continued it because they suck. But I 4 or 5 different relationships that I've always That's given them, so I'm like, hey, put this on. And there's some women I've dated that it's worked with their body chemistry. There's others that it doesn't, where I'm like, yeah, it doesn't do the same thing. So, yeah, she probably has no idea that it drove me insane.
Right.
My high school girlfriend at the time had no idea why I bought her that lotion.
Oh my gosh.
If she was watching, she would know now and probably be upset, but or hopefully she's moved on. I mean,
yeah, hopefully. God,
I'm fucking old.
But it does make a difference.
Yeah, it does.
It makes a difference.
But so, still to that day, like now when I smell an actual fruit roll up, like when my nephews have one, all of a sudden I remember that. And then I remember like it works really well with my wife. Like her natural body odor. So like it had the same type of effect. So it still brings me back to that.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, every human, we have pheromones, we have these sexy chemicals, and we have our own personal scent. Even when we are really clean, there is something, and we don't fully, science doesn't quite understand it yet. But, and we've mentioned on the show before, if you pick your partner when you have a cold and your smell isn't as good, you might pick a bad partner, because your sense of smell is a strong indicator in how well you will partner with that person.
Hey, y'all want to hear something crazy?
Always.
Okay. I just read this thing, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it was it was like some article talking about like how bad birth control is generally for women. Not like bad as in like preventing pregnancy, but bad as in like your hormonal stuff.
Right.
Not that I believe in it and stuff. But what this thing was saying was that women who take birth control for prolonged periods of time, their sense of smell gets it deviates. So they don't, because smell is really important to picking a partner.
Yeah.
So for it, like it kind of gets turned off when you take birth control for a very long time. So you pick a partner, and then some women who get off birth control while they're dating this person realize that like, this person's smell is very, very different than what they thought. And it actually changes like how they like the relate, like, you know, stuff like that. Like the way they pick.
Yeah, the so
it's a very, very weird. I was like, damn, that's crazy. Like,
yeah. I'd like to see more of that, but it really is true. And again, this is shit people deserve to know. Yeah. And we should realize, because there are, I don't know why there are certain people that are good for us to partner with. Yeah. You know,
no, it's we like don't even totally know, biological. Is, that's what it was saying.
It is. Yeah. It's very, very so important.
Yeah. It was an interesting point. And I don't know, again, like I'm not saying it's true or not true, but like,
right. You
know,
it's worth looking into. Exactly. Cause anyways, don't minimize the sense of smell is hugely powerful. Yeah. So, okay. So then we get to touch. All right. Yeah. So touch, when it comes to sensory deprivation that we can do easily, you say, like tying somebody to the bedpost, telling somebody simply not to move can work too. There are some people
What's
who
a
will
vac
refuse.
Bed?
bed. Oh my god, I've done that. Where'd you see
I'm
that?
I'm looking online under touch. Like that was one of that's the, so funny. That's one of the
we brought this up when we talked to Mr. Sella too.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah. So a vac bed is, think of a big
rectangle
sleeping bag, okay, made of really thick, like plastic bag stuff, but thicker, latex or rubber or something. And then a person goes in, and there will be, it can be, I've only done one, no, where my head sticks out, okay?
Yeah,
so it just tightens around the neck and stuff. So, and then you suck all the air out from the bag so that the rubber or latex or whatever it is, and you're naked in this. So or you can be. So it's against your skin. And so it's like wearing latex. This is the joy of latex fetishes. Because then when you touch, it's so strange. You touch, and even though there's this layer of rubber between, or latex between the touch and the person, you feel it on your skin so intensely. And I don't know why, but so taking an ice cube and playing with it, the cold goes through it. So it's this weird sense of being touched and being cold, but not being touched. And it's powerful. I thought it was like, I didn't understand why people get so excited and stuff about it, but oh my gosh, I did it one time and it was incredible. It was so arousing. It was just powerful. And just to be touched all over, and you can't touch back. You can't, there's no obligation. There's no reciprocation. You simply receive.
That kicks my claustrophobia in. That makes me feel just like it's like ants crawling on my skin, describing it. Like even the one, like we've talked about it. We've talked about the ones where it completely covers your face and you have a breathing hole.
Yeah. You have, or a straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That creeps me out as it is.
Yeah.
But even the one being up to your neck in it, like that's claustrophobic to me. And it just, oh no, you will not see me signing up for that. Or so to it's try funny. That.
I have a lot of claustrophobia, but there's that level of where it's so difficult and I don't sit still. I don't stay still. So to be in there, it very much pushes my edges and stuff, but that works into anticipation and arousal. And I find it very arousing. So that's, that's funny that you bring that up. So that would be a very extreme thing and something that you actually, those things are not inexpensive. So, and you want to spend good money on it, because if you get a cheap one and it rips and whatever, it's just not worth it. So you gotta be careful. But otherwise, in terms of touch, there can be, let's see, you can do feathers, you can do forks. I know this is silly, but even as a kid, when I was little, we used to give each other massages, which I don't know, but I swear I didn't. This was way before I knew anything about sex. But, and you could use forks and you could just like scratch That's somebody's back with them and stuff. Well, you're not eating, but you're just using them lightly on the back and stuff. Feels really good. You can use leather. You can use a belt and something just for feel. You can do spankings and paddles and things like that, but also chains. If you've never had cold metal chain sort of drip dragged along your body and stuff, it's really pretty amazing, especially if you are physically restrained so that you can't move. And when it comes to restraints, you can use belts, you can use ties, you can use sashes and scarves, you can use handcuffs, metal, you can use leather cuffs, you can use chain, you can use rope. A lot of people get into shibari, which is the erotic rope tying based on the old-fashioned Japanese. They used to tie up prisoners, and they wanted them to look pretty when they presented them to their, you know, whoever, their higher-ups and everything. So, but how you restrain can be. I love the feel of handcuffs. I can't stand the feel of metal handcuffs. Those are awful and yucky and don't turn me on at all. And other people, they do. So it depends on what you like. But then you can use things like temperature, ice cubes. You can use warm things. There's a line of props, sexy props called Enjoy. It's literally the letter N-J-O-Y, Enjoy. And they're all made with stainless steel. So you can put those in the freezer. And then when you use them and you can insert, because they're dildos or butt plugs or anything, they're frozen, they're ice cold. Or you can put them in warm water. And then when they touch you, they're really warm. So, and then there are different lubes that have cooling sensations, or massage oils, or warm sensations, or peppermint sensations that are going to make you tingle and stuff like that. So, yeah. Oh, and there's a thing called a Wartenberg wheel. Have you ever heard of a Wartenberg wheel?
Sounds like a torture device.
Yeah. Some people think that, but it's really not. It's what they use. Medical offices use it to test reflexes. So it's a little silver, I think of the metal, but you can have plastic. And then it's got a little spin wheel, and it's got prickly points going around it. So it rubs up and it sees if you react to it. So it can be sharp, but you don't have to use it like that. And those are so inexpensive. I think they're great.
There's like a derma roller. Have you ever heard of derma rollers? Do you know what those are?
Yeah, that's just like a stone. And stuff.
No. So, but this has needles on the.
Oh, it has prickly. Too. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might probably be sharper than what this is, because it's one. But anyway, it's tons of fun. And if somebody is told not to move or they're restrained, and you alternate between a feather and a Wartenberg wheel, dragging along and turning them on. And if they're blindfold too, and they never know whether you're going to touch their arm or you're going to touch their thighs or you're going to touch their balls, it's just very much, you're on hyper alert. The same way when you itch in one place, suddenly you start itching in all sorts of other places, right? It just wakes up. Sensory deprivation will wake up all sorts of different nerves looking for more input and everything like that. Okay. So, those are just some really easy, fun ways to play with it and see. Yeah. And lots of people love. They'll say, oh, I'm not into kinky stuff or power play at all, but touching them with the little feather and draping it along. Suddenly they're into
that. Well, no one will turn down a good like back scratch or something like that, I think.
Well, most people won't, but some will.
Most people won't.
Yeah. Yeah. But a good back scratch. And again, it depends. I love a good back scratch, but it doesn't necessarily turn me on. It just feels good. Same thing with massage. A massage doesn't turn me on. It just feels really good. And some people, it's very erotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe the way that you touch.
Yeah. Or the person doing it.
And the person doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the different, then let's write the different lotions and scents and everything like that, whether it's designed to stimulate or to relax.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's all five.
Cool.
That's all five.
That's a lot of ideas. Deprivation and stimulation.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't you just want to go get touched now? I'm like touching my shoulders. I'm like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I need some sexy play now. Mm-hmm. I want somebody to tie me up and tease me all over the place. But yeah, oh well. Maybe not. I want that on a regular basis, to be fair. So yeah. I don't know. But well, yeah, so again, even in quote regular sexy fun, be aware of these, because otherwise you are just wasting opportunity. And these don't take at the very core, they can be so basic and so easy, and yet they will help elevate things to the air of, so that you're not in BMS, you're not having boring married sex. They'll add some romance and some excitement and passion to whatever else you're doing really easily.
Yeah.
Simple adjustments, I think.
Lots of good ideas.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to hear it and go, oh, hey, yeah, that's actually, yeah, I never really thought putting a blindfold on my partner was, you know, would fall under this. Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. Do it even at meals. Oh, yeah. have a romantic dinner at home and either blindfold your partner or have tie their hands together, even loosely.
Have you
if they're
not seen
being
those restaurants
this.
That are like blackout? Or yeah, like you, no light, basically.
Yeah, but then you're dependent on them to guide and stuff, and so.
Oh, no, I don't think that's like a set. Well, I don't know. It's sensory, but definitely.
Sensory deprivation stuff. But I think that doing it with your partner and having to rely on them to either feed you, right, if your hands are restrained, or that you can't see and you don't know where you're going and they're helping you and everything, I think that's a huge way to start turning things on. And so blindfolds and restraints at the dinner table or lunch table or whatever, I think is a really fun way to up level things. So,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And then if you want to talk, you know, and think about oral, of course, go to sexyedschool.com, because if you use promo code come with us, then you can get 20% off and you can take those oral classes, the art of orally pleasuring her and the how to blow his mind while loving his body. So, and combine those with all sorts of sensory excitement, sensory stimulation and deprivation. And yeah, there's just no end to the amount of sexy fun you can have. Super easy.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, folks. Thanks for being here for the Come With Us podcast. For the bare naked truth about love, sex, and relationships. It's the practical and the theoretical and everything you need and inspiration and ideas and information. I'm Beth Darling, your sexy genius from sexyedschool.com, here with Aaron and Tina. And big hugs and love. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Come With Us podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at Come With Us Podcast and send in your questions, comments, and confessions to comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Until next time, keep it fun, flirty, and naughty.